welcome to the Jags of the Round Table from the Grove Hotel in Chandler's Cross, England. JP Shadrick, John Osier, Brian Sexton. Let's get right to it, guys. This could have been anarchy in the UK, but it wasn't. The trip has been fine. The Jags feel like they're home away from home, and that's the good start of the week.
First of all, nothing like a good Sex Pistols reference to start off with.
I did that just for you, yeah.
I know you did. And, you know, I think you're probably past the point where for most players there's going to be much chaos involved. So I haven't really emphasized that a whole lot this week. I never thought it was going to be a big deal. I think there are some elements of being away and being in unfamiliar surroundings all week, but I don't think it's going to be the time change or anything like that that makes a big difference.
Gus said today that when they woke up Tuesday morning, everything seemed normal, and that's why they left on Sunday night from Cincinnati as opposed to leaving Monday afternoon as they did last year from Jacksonville. I got the sense, talking to the guys, you know, no big deal. They put all the logistics together, the schedules, the meals. It was simple, and in fact, Cecil Shorts told me today, they got more rest than they would at home. And of course, he has two small children. More rest than they would at home because they could go to the room and sleep afterwards.
The opponent this week, the Dallas Cowboys, they have some quarterback drama this week. Tony Romo, should he play? Should he not play with the back injury?
Well, you know, I mean, Jerry Jones is the ultimate authority when it comes to the Cowboys. Just you know, turn on their press conference and see. He says he's going to play. They're a contender. He's an elite-level quarterback. I guess if he can go practice, fine. But when I've got a guy with two fractures in his back, I think, you know, we got the bye week next week. Maybe it would be smarter to try to grind it out with my NFL leading rusher and see if I couldn't use Dez Bryant and Jason Witten a little more effectively and not get my guy I'm counting on hurt.
Yeah, the argument there is they've lost a couple games in a row, so they don't want to go into their bye with three losses in a row and all of a sudden staring way up at the Eagles. I always hesitate to say should with somebody's injury where we don't know all the details. You know, you've got to trust that if he's able to go, he'll go. So in terms of trying to assess somebody else's injury, we really don't know the facts on, you would think he wouldn't go if it's going to be a big risk.
You're the Jaguars defense. Hit him, and hit him again. That's the way.
Which won't be easy because they have a terrific offensive line.
No doubt about that. Speaking of quarterbacks, Blake Bortles, you know, taking a lot of chances, has some turnovers the last few weeks, had a big one in Cincinnati in the end zone. But the defense and the team is behind him taking those shots.
Well, let me set this up for you. On Monday when we got, or Tuesday, got up and went down into the city with Senderic Marks for selling poppies at the Tower of London. And we just got onto the conversation with Mercedes about Blake and his mindset. And the first words out of anyone's mouth after I asked the question were Senderic goes, man, I love to watch him play. I love his aggressive style. I want him to keep on zinging it. And he said, you know, he came to the sideline on one particular game and said, man, I got to stop putting you guys in a tough position. And said, Derek said, man, don't worry about it. You just keep throwing the ball.
On the other side of that is they're all football players, and they know that despite the stats, despite the turnovers, since Blake's been in the game, they've been more competitive. The offense has been on the field longer. It's not perfect for the kid yet, but they are a better offense to keep him off the field. So in that sense, it's not surprising the defense would like it. They've improved since he's been in there, and he's a big reason why.
Well, on the other side of it is any player knows that in order to really win in this league, you got to have the quarterback.
Right.
So the more that this quarterback develops, the faster their chances are of rising as a football team. And it was clear talking to him that he gets that and just said, I love to see him go. Keep on going.
Yeah, you never see shoulder dropping when this guy throws a pick from the defense.
We're past the halfway point of the season. Injuries are starting to mount almost, well, I don't know if it's a mass unit or not, but on defense, Paz, Ball, Blackman, they're all done for the year. It's kind of forcing the future there. Can they sustain this?
I've been saying for a couple of weeks, I don't think you're in trouble yet with the front 11 or the first 11, but it's the depth that you're worried about now. Now if Grotz or McCray get hurt at corner, now all of a sudden you're moving a guy in who you're really unsure about. Same thing with linebackers. So they're very, very thin. They'll have a bye, but they're not getting those guys back. Six more games to go after this with a thin defense. It does cause concern.
Well, and you've lost guys on defense at every level. You know, I mean, Andre Branch was a key member of the rotation up front, especially on pass rushing downs. Not only is Paz out, but a guy that you really liked behind him, right, and Jeremiah George, who had three tackles on a bad ankle before he couldn't go any longer, is done. And Allen Ball is gone for the season, which means you've got Grotz and McCray. Now, if you get Colvin back, that negates it. It feels like a mash unit on that side because they keep cycling bodies through the linebacker core. As long as they're healthy up front, I think you'll have a chance to put JT Thomas anywhere you need him and be able to be successful.
I think there's one more game week to decide on Colvin as well. London, this is the second year of a four-year run at Wembley Stadium for the Jaguars. A lot of resources from the Jaguars into this venture in the United Kingdom, but has it been successful in year two, and will it be successful moving on?
I think it has. I mean, they get revenue from it, a significant amount of revenue. And if you were here last year and out at some of the events we were at, it's clear that the fans, there are Jaguars fans in Europe, and it's clear that it's picking up some steam. I don't know how you quantify that, but you can feel it. So, yes, it's been successful, and yes, I think it's been a positive thing.
Yeah, I think, you know, 35,000 members of the Union Jacks fan club, I mean, no matter how involved each one of them is individually, that's 35,000 people that are paying attention to you and what you're doing. And the crew over here, Laura Oaks, and that group has put together a terrific week of events, and the Jags have worked really diligently to get out there and build it. Yeah, I would say it's a success because I really believe that American football is on the verge of getting a foothold here. I don't know if one team is on the verge of it yet, but the NFL in general is spending so much time and energy, and you've got a vibrant owner in Shad Khan who's willing to do things with his franchise here. I don't see how it can't be a success.
I think everybody knows the biggest thing is that JP UK Shadrick gets a free tip from London every year.
UK. Well, I did notice this. And that's pretty sharp.
That's just the way that works.
There you go.
That's right.
Pretty sharp.
Next year, we'll play Week 7 at Wembley against the Buffalo Bills. That was announced earlier this week. That's it for this week on Jags of the Roundtable. We'll talk to you next week during the Jags bye week back home.